Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football here during the summertime. And to kick off the show right away, we have a special guest joining us. We have Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Wes, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing terrific, Brian. I got to admit, first off, tremendous job on the last name. I kind of figured, you know, with you being more of a northern guy, you'd get that. But a lot of times that's kind of a tongue twister for people.
To tell you the truth, I used to be a teacher in Lena, Wisconsin, and I taught several Hodkowitzes. I have a lot of familiarity with the name. Where are you from originally?
You're going to like this. I'm from Suamico, but my dad was from Lena. So I'm guessing everyone you taught was probably related to me somehow.
Gotcha. So. Sounds good. Now, Wes, you've worked at the Press Gazette for several years now, and maybe it's just my perception, but it seems like your Packers coverage has increased since Kareem Copeland has left the beat. Is that a case of you moving up the ladder there?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to kind of figure everything out right now. I think it's all sort of up in the air. But, you know, Kareem was terrific. When I actually started there, I started in August of 06. So, I mean, that's when Chris Hovel was still at the Gazette. And then, obviously, Chris moved on, and then we had Tom Pelissero for 3 years. And then Kareem stepped in for another two. So there's been a nice line of writers there, very talented guys. And when Kareem left, it opened up some different opportunities. We're not really sure what's going to happen yet or where it's going, but I'm enjoying it. It's been kind of cool to help out with stuff and be able to kind of lend my hand on that. Because I've been around it for the last 6 years where I have to do one thing or another, you know, sparingly, but to kind of have a chance to do it week in and week out. It's been a fun ride. But, yeah, we don't really know right now yet. But, I don't know, maybe it's like my on-the-job audition. We'll see.
Well, you're doing a good job, whatever happens. you recently had an article published, I believe it was in today's edition of the Press Gazette, about former Packers wide receiver Antonio Freeman, who's taking part in the NFL's rookie symposium. What's your understanding of what Freeman is doing there?
Well, he said he's like a group facilitator. So basically what his number one job function has been is kind of being there as one of those. He's not really the Terrell Owens or Adam Pac-Man Jones where he's going up in front of, you know, 100, 200 people and just completely telling his story. But he's kind of been available. I know one thing he said yesterday is he actually ran like a game show for some of the rookies, some of the NFC rookies where it was like the NFC or the NFL rookie challenge. And it was more of a lighthearted, fun type thing and kind of just lending his ear for anything they have questions about. And I wrote that a little bit. I didn't get to go too much into it in my story. But, I mean, he pretty much – there's pretty much an open Q&A session for him and what he wants to talk about. I know one of the big things he said was a lot of guys were, you know, asking him, you know, what do I do with my money? What did you buy when you got your first signing bonus? And, you know, who do I take care of? And it's stuff from that all the way to just asking about what it's like to be in the NFL. So he kind of plays that role. And I think the thing he kind of talked about was with his personality and kind of the more gregarious kind of outlook he has with some of those guys and some of those relationships he has with some of the Packer guys already, I think he's mostly there to keep things light for those guys and tell them a little bit about what the NFL is all about.
Well, I'm glad you could join us. So even though you couldn't write all these things in your article, you can share them here on the show. Now, also, Freeman has a close connection with current Packers wide receiver Donald Driver. And you asked him about Driver's recently restructured contract. What did Freeman have to say about that?
Well, he was very happy for him. And he was happy that he got to end his career. From what it looks like, depending, you know, obviously we have to see what shakes out in training camp and everything from there. But he was very happy that he got that opportunity to come back. Freeman, he stays with what he said, you know, and I think he said this a couple times now. That, I mean, he doesn't regret that move, you know, going back to 2001, telling Mike Sherman, I don't want to take the pay cut, and how that worked out, and how he went to Philadelphia the next year and came back to Green Bay. One of the things he talked about though is when you get in that 13th, 14th year. It really, I mean, that's where it's pretty much like, you know, trying to keep this thing going. You've had you know, all the money and the salary that's come along with that, so to keep it going. I think he completely understood that, because, you know, when Mike Sherman was offering him to go back and scale back his pay, I think he said, at that point, I think he was in 7 years at that point. So he doesn't regret it. And he was happy for Driver, and obviously he went out to Dancing with the Stars for the finale and had talked with them and his family, and they wanted to be back in Green Bay, and that made it happen. So it's gonna be an interesting wide receiving situation now, but it put a lot of questions to rest there.
All this talk about wide receivers, I think, leads nicely into a discussion about how deep the position is in Green Bay. I'll ask you this. Do the Packers keep six wide receivers this year?
I think they do. I really do. And if you have to ask me right now, I think it's Gurley. The guy is too, for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of people, I'll tell you the same thing. Just everything that's there and he brings to the table is just it's too offering. I mean, there's so much stuff he can do with the size and obviously his history there at South Carolina with punt blocking and the different kind of things you can do with him at 6'4". I just think it's way too big of an incentive there to bring him back. But I mean, you have to depend on what's going to work out. You know, how are they going to handle things? You know, what do you do one fullback again? Are you going to do as many tight ends as they had last year? I mean, like. There's going to be a lot of questions there, but it seems like you want to probably have somebody in the pipeline at that point. I know the thing they probably think about, too, is the fact that by being able to keep Driver, I mean, a lot of those wide receivers are pretty young with Cobb there now and Nelson. And I mean, they're going into their better years, so it's not like you really need to have, like, all these young guys to kind of replenish the coop, but it's going to be interesting to see how they shake that out. But in my opinion, I think they keep six, and I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being Torrey Gurley.
You said Gurley. I'm there with you. I actually think he's probably has potential, at least. I'm not sure
where to put him at
this point. But yeah, has a lot of potential. And but, I mean, you say they keep Gurley. That, I guess that would mean perhaps that a guy like DeAndre Burrell could be on the outs. So I guess we come back to Donald Driver, and is it the right thing to keep a guy like him at the expense of perhaps cutting DeAndre Burrell?
Right. Yeah, and that's going to be the big question, especially depending on if Burrell goes on and you know, finds another team and latches on and really finds his niche. You know, Freeman had mentioned, too, a little bit, and he obviously has a big relationship with Shaky Smithson going back to Baltimore, and he knew a bunch of his uncles and cousins and obviously had a big foundation there with the family. And he's also talked with Jared Boykin, who came out of Virginia Tech just like Freeman. And he told those guys, and one of his big messages when he talked with them is, you know, you don't look at the depth chart. You just look at what you can do on the field to try impressing other teams. Because the fact of the matter is the Packers, no matter which way you slice it, are not going to be keeping 11 wide receivers. So, I mean, what do you got to do to make yourself appealing to other NFL teams? As far as Driver goes, I think it's at a point now, you know, assuming that he comes back and, you know, has one more year, depending on how this works out, I still think it's worth it, just because you don't necessarily need to have someone that's going to be a completely impact player that Driver was 10 years, you know, whatever you want to go, 5, 6, 7 years ago. But you still have, obviously, a guy there that has a big foundation with this team. I mean, going all the way back to 1999 now that he's actually been with this organization. From a numbers standpoint, I think it's tough to squeeze them in there, but I definitely understand why they did it.
Question here from John Rahor on our live blog, and kind of a good question here, too, with a guy like perhaps DeAndre Burrell, you know, on the outside looking in, does he have any trade value? Is there possible if the Packers can only keep six, and can they trade a guy possibly? Is that potential at all for that?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I guess what I would say is probably no, just because I don't know if they'd have the leverage per se to be able to say, well, you know, like last year with all the tight ends, them keeping five tight ends like that. I mean, they could say, well, we're gonna keep these, we can store these guys on the roster. We don't necessarily have to cut them. I just think there'd be too much of a strong feeling going around that. I mean, around the NFL that, well, I mean, the Packers aren't gonna keep seven wide receivers, but if a team does like him enough, you know, that they see the film on him and they like what he offers, you know, brings to the table, maybe that would be something that shakes out and get, you know, a conditional draft pick somewhere down the line. and you know, you have to see how it works out. I mean, you look even like Chaston West, how he was, you know, I think a lot of people thought he would be the number six guy or whatever last year, and how it ends up working out if he ends up going down to, I think, Jacksonville and get some playing time there. So if he becomes appealing enough and during training camp and that, I could see that being a possibility. But otherwise, it would be interesting to see how teams would approach that. If, you know, there's a chance the Packers are going to cut him, well, do you want to be the team that gets him right away? It'd probably depend on how much what that training camp looks like.
Wes, some good wide receiver talk this morning. Thank you for joining us here at Cheesehead TV, and let's do it again.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you guys having me on. I know I think you and John have been probably my two longest followers on Twitter overall, and it's nice to finally be able to jump on here with you guys.
Sounds good. Well, we think you do a great job, and continue it over there at the Press Gazette, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, Jeff. You guys have a good weekend, okay?
Thanks a lot, Wes. Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Good wide receiver talk. So just after talking to Antonio Freeman, brings up the whole Donald Driver contract situation and how it all plays into the younger guys on the roster. Even talking potential trades here. Kind of an interesting deal that isn't really, I think, been brought up in the media too much, actually. The potential for DeAndre Burrell in a potential trade, or Torrey Gurley for that matter. I suppose it depends upon who ends up winning that job, if indeed the Packers do keep six wide receivers this year. So something to think about. Encountering new territory here on Railbird Central this morning. So I'm going to have to elaborate that sometime, perhaps, on a blog post. We'll see. But interesting thoughts about what the future might hold. And it was really neat to see Wes bring up the name Chaston West. Man, it seems like forever ago, and he was like part of the consciousness, But Chaston West, I mean, it really wasn't that long ago. We're talking about training camp last year, and he had such a big training camp and came up big in the preseason games. You remember that name? Everybody was clamoring for the Packers to keep him, or if they couldn't, could they trade him, things like that. That was just training camp a year ago. Chaston West, was he the guy who did he grab a long touchdown from Aaron Rodgers in the preseason? Is that what happened? Do I want to say that? Or did he have a punt return or something like that? No, that was that the year before there was another Packers wide receiver, just a training camp guy who had the long punt return for a touchdown or something like that. But wow. I mean, yeah, just a year ago seems longer, but it's not. It really wasn't all that long ago. I mean, these guys just kind of like, you know, once they're cut by the Packers, they kind of are like forgotten a little bit. But kind of remembering history here and seeing if history repeats itself with the similarities between a Chaston West or a DeAndre Burrell and Torrey Gurley. Kevin Lamb on our live blog says, I got to play catch with Chaston West before the Saints game last year. It was awesome. I imagine. Good times. So that's going to exhaust the wide receivers talk here. John Rahor says he thought it was from Harrell at the end of the Colts game. That could be. I remember that Colts preseason game last year? Didn't the Packers like come from behind to win it? That was quite the game. Or they scored a touchdown to tie it up. Ended up having the onside kick, needing it, getting it, and then scoring again, something like that. So, yeah, preseason football. You forget those things once the regular season begins and the playoffs too, for that matter. But anyhow, so here we are on Friday during the summer. June almost done. Was it the last day of June today? June 30th, is it? Something like that. Or June 29th. So, hitting July here very shortly. But the news yesterday was that the NFL has moved the kickoff times for the late doubleheader games on network TV back 10 minutes. Not really a huge change by any means. And here we go on our live blog from Nick. The link to the Chasten West touchdown, 97-yard touchdown. Isn't that awesome? 97 yards. Yeah, I faintly remember that. So it was a long, long pass. So it was really cool. So yesterday the news, the NFL moving back kickoff 10 minutes from 3:15 to 3:25 Central Time, of course. It's different if you live in a different time zone. But it was not really much of a change, but seeing as there's not much football news going on in the off season in the late June time frame, it made headlines yesterday. So, what it was is because you're kind of always sitting there right as those noon kickoffs are ending and the other games, the late afternoon games, are about to begin. If it happens to be a long noon game, if it just happens to be one of those games that lasts longer than usual, perhaps if it goes into overtime, you might miss the ending if your local team comes on and they got to go to the game for kickoff. And I mean, of course, if you're a Packers fan, you'd probably almost rather watch the kickoff of the Packers game than the other one. But I mean, if it's not a Packers game, though, you'd probably want to watch the ending to the other game. And then you get, a little 10 extra minutes buffer time. So you get to see that. You get to see the ending of the noon game. And then you get to see kickoff of the late game. And it's a win-win situation. So I think it's an obvious move that the NFL made here that's just only going to, benefit everyone. Yeah, John Rehorse says in our live blog here, 10-minute pushback equals another pregame beer. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to the game in person, that's really what it means. So, if you're not watching on TV, it probably doesn't make a whole, hill of beans at all much of a difference, but if you're going to watch the game at home, nice situation here. I think a good move that the NFL made, so you can see more football action, and things haven't changed at all with the non-doubleheader game. So what does it work about every other week? Fox gets to televise two games nationally and CBS one, and then it flip-flops. CBS gets two games nationally and then Fox only gets one. It's like every other week they pretty much change, or I'm not sure if that depends upon in the where you live, perhaps, depending upon, Fox covers NFC games versus CBS covers the AFC games. But yeah, I mean, regardless, the network that only has one game on that week, no change. Those kickoffs will remain, I think, at 3:05 p.m. Central Time, of course. So that's the news coming down the pike yesterday. Two Packers games were affected. The Week 1 game against the San Francisco 49ers, the season opener, will be one of those games that are pushed back to a 3:25 start time. That game is on Fox, and they are doing the doubleheader that week. So that game will reach most of the nation, perhaps not all of it, but they're probably only competing with maybe one other game or so opening weekend on Fox. So, the Packers game against the 49ers will be pushed back 10 minutes or something like that. Here we go. John Rahor bringing a quote from Mark Murphy in the Green Bay Press Gazette regarding the change in kickoff here. Our business is, this is from Mark Murphy here, quote, "Our business is very competitive. We're competing with ourselves in a sense because TV is so good and we want to make sure the experience in the stadium is unique. It really focuses on technology." So, that's kind of in regards to the stadium experience and in regards to the expansion that's going on and the new scoreboards being installed, video boards being installed, the new seating, the new rooftop viewing deck, all those things going on at Lambeau Field. So a lot going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers here as they're getting ready to prepare Lambeau Field for the NFL shareholders meetings. In fact, got my tickets in the mail yesterday. Did you? The Packers sending out their tickets for the shareholders meeting. If you, you know, voted your shares, I think you have to do that first. And I remember doing that as soon as the letter came in the mail. And anyhow, yeah. So if you are an owner, if you are a shareholder of the Packers and you got your shareholders meeting notice in the mail and you sent it in, those tickets are already going out for the what was more than likely be the largest shareholders meeting in the history of the Green Bay Packers this year, without a doubt, being the first year following the expansion as far as the new shareholders go, the new stock sale taking place. Going to be a stadium full. It's going to be a full crowd in there, I can imagine. 50-plus thousand people. The Packers saying they have plans in place in case they have more than that. I don't know what they're going to do, but they said they have plans. So could be a case where people are one of those situations where they could just set up a video boards in the parking lot or something like that. So John Rahor asked, wonder what the team would do if 100,000 people wanted to attend. I have no clue. They say they have plans. I don't know what those plans are. You know, in the past, they've held the shareholders meeting at the Resch Center, you know, the basketball arena, basketball/hockey, right next door. You know, just across the street from Lambeau Field. I don't know, maybe they put people in there, they simulcast it, something like that, or they just, like I said, they put, you know, video boards up in the parking lot, perhaps. I have no clue what the Packers plan to do, but it's going to be a big day at Lambeau Field on, what is that, something like July 26, something like that. So it's a Tuesday in Green Bay, and we're getting near that time when the shareholders meeting takes place. That takes place on a Tuesday, and then just 2 days later, they're going to the start of training camp happens on Thursday. So shareholders meeting Tuesday, start of training camp Thursday, will be a busy time. I imagine a lot of people will be, you know, planning their vacations around that time period so they can attend both events. I know there's kind of a day in between there, but anyhow, I imagine it'll be, you know, one of those type of situations happening. Kyle Kuzno on the live blog says, I still contend they would run a morning and an afternoon session. So perhaps if they get a large response from all the shareholders, people requesting tickets, that they could still hold two sessions that day, morning and an evening, or morning and afternoon, whatever, what have you. Maybe, you know, maybe they're waiting to see how much of a response they get from the shareholders to make that decision. You know, if they get 100,000 people wanting to attend, maybe, perhaps, they do make that change, make that switch. We'll see. We wait and see. But, yeah. John Rahor says, I like that it's being live-streamed. Yeah, so the Packers made the decision. If you do not live in the area, if there's no chance of you, in fact, Nick here on our live blog had previously commented, says, I wish I could make it. It's a long drive from North Carolina. Well, Nick, you're in luck, and all the rest of you cheeseheads out there who can't make the Packers shareholders meeting. It is being live-streamed, broadcasted live, I think, on the Packers official website. I'm not sure if you need a code to watch it, if you have to be a shareholder in order to watch it. That might be the case. So It could be a situation where you punch in some password, something like that. But you will be able to watch it in real time, you know, via live simulcast or broadcast online on your computer or your mobile device, whatever. But you should be able to watch the shareholders meeting if you are an owner. So new territory the Packers are going into this year. New territory they're entering here in our digital age. Comment here from Kevin Lamb. Interesting topic here. I saw on PFT, I'm assuming ProFootballTalk.com, that the Pack have about $11 million available in cap space. Do you think Ted Thompson will start working on some extensions for players? Perhaps maybe Greg Jennings, TJ Lang, Clay Matthews. Good question. Yeah, you know, the Packers did quite a job of trimming salary cap space this year, coming to the restructured contract with Donald Driver that saved some room. Not only that, they cut Chad Clifton, longtime veteran with a big contract. They released safety Nick Collins as well. That had less to do, had more to do with about his health and well-being than anything else, but still saving room as well. Now, all of a sudden, the Packers, $11 million in cap space. You can imagine that I don't doubt at all that perhaps maybe before training camp even starts here, they'll come to an agreement with at least one player on a contract extension. You know, maybe more, but you know, they tend to like to do that before the season starts. You know, once the players have time to focus on something like that, right here in the July or so time frame before training camp starts, they got a little bit of time if they need to do a little contract negotiation, can focus their efforts towards that before training camp starts, and then their attention goes to football. But yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all that the Packers could be extending a player. You know, here a question from John Rahor, Packerpedia, brought up what I thought was an interesting question. With all the free agents coming up, could Jennings be the odd man out during the re-signing process? Well, I suppose what's working in Greg Jennings' favor is that he's probably the best player who's coming up for a contract extension or whose contract expires this year. Yeah, I mean, the Packers have a bunch of players in the future with, you know, coming up whose contracts are expiring. You know, Clay Matthews in 2 years, B.J. Raji in 2 years, Aaron Rodgers in 3 years. And, you know, those are all great, good players that the Packers are going to want to re-sign. But as far as players whose contracts expire after this season, Greg Jennings is at the top of the list. Greg Jennings followed by TJ Lang. So I would think that I would doubt he would be the odd person out. You know, unless Greg Jennings is dead set on, you know, breaking the bank and just getting an obscene amount of money. I don't know if he's going to be looking for that. I think he's going to just be looking for something fair. You know, something along the lines of what'll work for both him and the Packers. I mean, that's what he did last time. Last time his contract was up, came to a nice, reasonable extension. And I could see that happening again. I could see him coming to a contract extension in the next month. You know, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But the history says the Packers like to do that before the start of the year. You know, sign some of their key core players to contract extensions before the season starts. And yeah, we see here, Packers have about $11 million available, so they have room to do it. They can give him a nice signing bonus and put it all toward this year. Or a nice first-year base salary and put it towards the 2012 season. They have room to do that. And then maybe they move on to other players after that. So TJ Lang also coming up. But, you know, it was just a debate a week or so ago about Aaron Rodgers and getting him to a contract extension. And, you know, he's such a key piece of the puzzle that, you know, that's going to have to happen sometime soon. But it's Friday. Thanks, everybody, so much for joining us here on Cheesehead TV on Railbird Central. Coming on Monday, going to have another guest on the show. We're going to have Mike Gross of Pro Sports Experience. He's the coaching director of the official Green Bay Packers youth camps that are taking place this summer. Going to be talking to him on Monday morning. So it'll be the last episode of Railbird Central on Monday morning before I take a break, take a little bit of a summer vacation during the 4th of July. So coming back Monday for one more episode, and then going to take a little break, a little summer vacation. Not long, just a week or so. But anyway, come back then. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend, everybody. To everybody kicking off their 4th of July weekend, have fun there. And we'll see you again Monday morning here on Cheesehead TV. So I leave you today with the song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. On behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.